Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AskMe People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AskMe People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Hello, and thank you so much for joining us for your SmackDown post show for Friday, September 20th. We're on the road to Bad Blood, and we thank you so much for joining us tonight. I'm joined, as always, by the wonderful Alex Cardoza. Cardoza, how you doing over there?
I'm doing excellent. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm just living the dream, Alex. I am living the dream. But
you were the talk of the town all week. I loved it. I like to see you flourish the way you do and take over the industry.
Well, thank you. I was certainly doing something out here, but get in those super chats, get in those humper chats. If there's anything that you want to talk about regarding tonight's episode of SmackDown or kind of in general, if you just want to say hi to us, if you want to talk about Alex's clavicles or my bangs or whatever you want to talk about. But we also invite you to do a whole laundry list of other things. If you would be so nice, please leave a thumbs up on this video to help people find us in the algorithm. Very much appreciated if you are able to do that. Just thumbs up skis on this video. Leave a comment. We like to touch tips on the show. We like to do a little, so feel free to leave a little tip touch either in the live chat or on the comment section. We appreciate it both. But we'll also remind you to subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. Best $5 in the biz. So much going on over there. We had more NXT notes for you earlier this week. We had the news about Kevin Owens that went up and that his contract is being renegotiated as we speak, or is up for renewal very soon. If he gets into that free agency window, you could expect AEW to make a big offer, was kind of the net of that. But he's been a WWE guy through and through so far, so we will see. I think one of the most valuable, like unanimously valuable wrestlers, I think people view Kevin Owens. I certainly do. He's definitely one of my favorites. News about Miro that broke earlier today that he had requested his release, but Sean also had the supplemental details behind FightfulSelect.com about the length of his contract going to spring 2026. So we will see what AEW wants to do with that. The ball is in their court, but so much happening at Fightful Select. Boy, howdy. Is it nice to have a normal place where you can talk about wrestling that's in a moderated community? So head over to FightfulSelect.com. Join that Discord. Join the Ask SRS channel. If you have any questions, he gets back to them as soon as he possibly can in that Ask SRS channel. He'll drop scoops in there from time to time, too. So join that Discord. It's a good time. Alex, you're kind of fluffing with your hair over there. Are you feeling pressure because of my bangs? Is that what's
I'm only trying to match your freak, you know what I'm saying? Trying to keep up here. I don't have a lot of bangs. I do have incredible clavicles.
Sure.
And even though fall does begin tomorrow, this weekend, the most glorious time of the year, these clavicles will still be out in full force just with their plaid.
Love that. We love that for you. As we enter Hallmark season, you still got to have the clavs out. But we've got some SmackDown to get into it. So please leave a super chat or a humper chat. We appreciate your support. However you want to give it to us and throw it our way. Very, very much appreciated.
Do you want to say this real quick? Yes. If you guys are hearing some audio pops is coming, unfortunately, from Kate's side because we were trying to fumble around with the audio. So there are some, it's popping a little bit, but nothing like where it's too crazy.
Look, we're popping over here. Do I sound just a little better staticky. Now?
Yeah, it's not, I mean, you could always do the unplugsy and plugsy thing if you want, whatever. Then you could do it while we're doing a commercial break. So,
Kate, I mean,
it's Friday night. We're live.
Incredible segues, you think, but we're still fiddling around with my setup, but I will say my parents have helped me with my studio and my whole apartment over the course of the past week. It's been so nice. We've gone in on fall cleaning here at my casa.
I love it
so,
for you.
You know what? If it's crackly, I'll just switch it to my headset mic, which is unfortunate, but we will get there, y'all. We will get
I'm just going to say this right now. I will have to, Tony Khan and WWE and MLW and TNA pay me so much money to do this show here that I'm going to have to take my private jet and fly over to Kate. And because I am an audio wizard and I'm just going to set up her entire stuff for a bagel and a coffee. And I'm going to get right back in the airplane and go back home. So that's what I'm thinking of doing.
I had it working a couple days. It's just been a little funky today.
Yeah, it's all right. It happens.
We will figure it out, but we're going to get into this episode of SmackDown. So send some love our way. Pretty, pretty, please, y'all. But let's talk about this episode. We've got a recap of what happened with Solo Sikoa, which I thought was a nice recap. We had that Monday night new era kind of feel headed over to USA. This, of course, we're fully in the USA Network era for the time being. But we start off the show and we get Tama Tonga and Tonga Loa. Just tough day to be security, man. Tough day to be security. Jacob Fatu just destroying people trying to do their jobs. But Kevin Owens gets interviewed after the Roman and Cody video by Byron Saxton in this episode. So I'm going to give you some bloodline stuff before we dig into our first match here. And we have him getting interviewed after the Roman Cody video we're going to talk about later by Byron. And he walks off without saying anything and says he's going to do his talking in the ring when he gets interrupted by the bloodline. Tama Tonga saying that Roman, Cody, and KO are going to get what is coming to them, and they attack KO. So you're going to see a lot of bloodline through line here as we go. DIY making the save and Nick Aldis making that six-man event light up. We're going to talk more and more about that later. But let's dive in to our U.S. Championship match, which kicks off the night from an in-ring perspective. Here we get LA Knight and Andrade for that U.S. title. This was a match I was very much looking forward to, and definitely one of the better storylines that I think they have going on SmackDown and in all of wrestling right now. But really, really, really good stuff. I feel like this was a win all around. You do have LA Knight retaining with the BFT, which I thought was great. But I feel like everything is going right, because after this match, you also have Andrade kind of meeting Carmelo Hayes backstage, and Carmelo Hayes saying, "Wouldn't have been me. Wouldn't have been me losing to LA Knight. That's a you problem, brother," which I liked. I like that the loss meant something and that it threw heat on the Carmelo and Andrade rivalry. And I felt like LA Knight, who has always been better in the ring than people give him credit for, I think his in-ring kicked up a notch tonight because he was in the ring with someone as great as Andrade. So I feel like this is payoff city all around. I thought the match was excellent. I feel like LA Knight getting to flex a little bit more on his in-ring capabilities was wonderful. I think Andrade is returning to something that's really interesting, and I think it kind of shows you that Carmelo is going to be a challenger at some point along the way, but keeps that rivalry alive. So I liked a lot of what we got out of this. What did you think?
Yeah, I didn't think it was bad at all. Actually, for the first time, the U.S. title had a really, really good, memorable match, a good defense. First of all, we haven't seen anything like this since, I think, when Kevin Owens came up and pretty much just put the beat down on Cena many, many, many moons ago. So it's kind of cool and refreshing to kind of see where this is going. And then you get the backstage, you know, assault that kind of just goes down between these two, Carmelo and Andrade. I think that they understand that they have lightning in a bottle with those two. If they make it a best of seven, they make it a best of 14, whatever they want to do. I think the fans will truly enjoy it. Overall, great match. I didn't see absolutely anything wrong. The right person won, and the right person will continue to win, I think, in this instance. I don't think you're going to take that off of him anytime soon. So it's nice to see that that title is actually getting defended well, and they're putting a lot of emphasis on these mid-cards.
Yeah, I was so worried they were going to have missed the boat with LA Knight because it took them so long to get a title on that guy, and he's been white hot for so long. But he's really sustained the momentum. He gets a huge pop every time he comes out. The matches were great, and they finally figured out what to do with Andrade. Like, he's finally broken out of, I have to fight within the context of other Hispanic talent. Like, we've kind of broken out of that mold, which is really, really refreshing. And you know, Andrade and Carmelo were two people that have extremely high ceilings that should feel like big deals on your roster that weren't really doing anything. I think they're both really benefiting from this rivalry. But we got some super chat love that came in. Ryan Lambert sending love. We appreciate that. Sending everyone here all the love tonight. Well, thank you, Ryan. We appreciate that so much. And Bad Robot, who's always so kind to us, saying, "Hello, favorite post show. Where in the world is Shinsuke Nakamura? Him versus Jacob Fatu, Melo and Andrade, please." I am convinced, heat up Andrade and have him dethrone Cody. So many bangers in a row. So Sean did get to the bottom of Shinsuke, and he just isn't being used right now. He had done some work in Japan when they were doing some work over there. AJ Styles, same deal, I think. But he's just not being used. He's been drafted to SmackDown. I don't think we've seen him since. It's a shame. They had set up some really incredible vignettes for him on Raw, and he was made to feel important through those vignettes, and then they didn't back it up with any wins. And unfortunately, the top dog that was on Raw also went to SmackDown, so I don't think you can pick up that story again, but you can certainly have Shinsuke doing work in the mid-card. So I don't know where he is, but you're dead on about Andrade. I don't know if I would have him dethroning Cody. I could see him kicking around in that mid-card title picture for a little bit and being heated up as a contender for Cody, though, for sure. He has looked great in the ring. He's always looked great in the ring. That's never been the issue, really. But great to see from him tonight. Any thoughts from you, Cardoza? Are you missing Shinsuke like I am? I love that guy.
You know, it's weird because it's been a while, so I don't know where he would fit in. This is a totally different WWE right now. I mean, just from even a month ago. So if you were to bring him in, what pieces would he fit into, right? Would he be a face? I'm so sorry, but what was his last thing?
Where do I fit in?
First of all, we have two stars right now here at Fightful. To the most talked about Twitter handles on all of X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it.
Two of the most serially harassed people on the internet.
To brag. But
somebody is going to take Kate out, they said.
Yeah. Yep.
Take her out.
I've never heard words be spoken the way they did.
Like to dinner?
Like to talk about like Twitter weird stuff on here that much, but I mean, what I have to constantly remind myself is those people convince themselves they're the normal ones.
Sure.
Somehow. I don't understand how or why or any of that, but by God, they do. But I'm here courtesy of FightfulSelect.com.
Ooh.
We had news this morning. Miro has asked for his release from AEW. As best I know, he is under contract until at least spring of 2026. However, there's an awful lot of injury time that could be added to that deal. An awful lot. If it were me, if I were Tony Khan, I would say, come back, put a couple people over, put one person over, put literally anybody over, put Fuego over, doesn't matter, put somebody over.
Put Will Hobbs over. Revisit the meat match. That's what I'm rooting for.
Yeah. Put someone over because you have to go back to September of 2021 to find a time when he got pinned. Because even the Bryan Danielson match was a ref's decision.
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
But he re-signed in 2022, and it was big money deal for me, that's for sure. Compared to some of the other deals out there, maybe not. But hey, if a guy wants his release and he's saying, you know what, you can stop paying me, and he agrees to put somebody over, I would say let him out. You're clearly not using him, or he doesn't want to be used. Give that money to a guy named Daniel Garcia instead.
You know, that's not a bad idea, and it's not like the AEW roster is at a lack of talent or lack of guys who can be top guys. I would say that's the same across WWE as well. So I'm with you on that. I already plugged that on FightfulSelect.com, Sean, but it is the best $5 in the biz. But yeah, I mentioned that. I mentioned the Kevin Owens news, which we're going to talk about Kevin Owens a whole lot on this episode, but also on FightfulSelect.com. Some supplemental details there as well.
Yeah, his deal as of now is up at the end of the year. I know that Wrestling Observer said like 15 people have been approached. I have not heard of 15 people, but that doesn't mean that's not the case. Personally, if I had heard 15 people, I'd be going after those names immediately to report them. But PW Insider said Rhea, Liv, Nia. At least one of those I've heard is yes, they have. But this is a far cry from the Dan Ventrelli era of talent relations that we just got out of, where there were some talent that, quite frankly, had told me they were not thrilled about how long WWE waited to negotiate with them, including some that they didn't retain. Kevin Owens is a guy, though, that I know that AEW wants. And they wanted him the last go around. I'm not sure if it was conveyed enough to Kevin Owens. However, objectively, I think we can say that Kevin Owens re-signing with WWE was a great decision for him. Like, it was, it really was.
Main event of WrestleMania, fought Stone Cold, won the tag titles with his best friend, heavily profiled.
Main event of WrestleMania. Yeah. He seemed very happy with WWE, like during interviews and stuff, but the amount of money and the schedule that I think that AEW will offer him, if given the opportunity, would be something that, at least if he hits free agency or a negotiation period, I think that he would have to at least consider, because that's how much I've heard that AEW wants him. another contract that is coming up. And again, we'll talk more about this on Monday's Fightful Weekly Report podcast. But Dustin Rhodes, and normally people be like, oh, you know, he's 55. What's it matter? Listen, you can see what it matters. You can see what it matters on this show right here. We have seen Dustin Rhodes do incredible things in the ring and creatively with Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns in the past.
Sure.
And like, I like what he's doing in Ring of Honor. I thank God Sammy Guevara's got somebody else to hang out with besides Chris Jericho. But like, for me, yeah, I would really, really love to see him end his career in WWE with his brother and doing something like that. I think that would be very cool. So a lot of contract stuff going back and forth. And we had asked WWE about Sheamus last year or last week, and he confirmed that again this week. Over on Fightful Select, had a bunch of NXT news about their schedule and NXT Scoops thread. We have a new feature on Fightful Select. I know a lot of you, you don't want to sit through the audio of a Q&A. So I've been taking several of those answers and typing them out for you guys. We're going to have three of those this week. We call it Fightful or Select Answers. $5 a month, $54 a year gets you Fightful Select, and it gets you that news before anybody else. All the third-party aggregators and all that stuff. Listen, this is where they're getting their news from. Had a bunch of news on the AEW WBD deal. Of course, we had a Raw and SmackDown Scoops thread. We've had some info on writers of segments lately, which is not something that we have had in the past. We were able to get that. And, of course, the biggest news, Paul White isn't retired. He wants to bring Captain Insano back. I'm going to have more contract news this weekend on FightfulSelect.com.
New and different for you this year. Some contract news coming up. My goodness.
Yes, so. Finally. Finally, we're going to have some contract news.
It has been a hell of a year for contract news and plenty more to come. Hell of a year to be a Fightful Select subscriber, just $54 a year or $5 a month. So some exciting stuff happening behind the paywall, including Alex Pulaski and I doing pay-per-view post-shows and being extremely
Yeah, that too. Well, most importantly, I believe you two watched Wrong Side of Town.
No, that's coming up. That's coming up.
I will be watching that episode.
I was told it was the wrong side of bad.
It's one of the worst movies ever. In fact, it's in the news again because Batista just did an interview with Chris Van Vliet, and he said that he did a movie called Wrong Side of Town, and when he watched it back, he's like, wow, I'm a really terrible actor.
That's so funny because Alex already watched it because Alex will immediately watch anything that we decide that we're going to do. Well, but he said,
let me just say this. Batista said he was a terrible actor. He is in the top line.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. ebaymotors.com.
Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination.
One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards.
We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AFSCME People, AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this act, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Like 2% of good actors in that movie.
It was also, Alex had just said it was so deceiving because they make it seem like he's a co-star and he has like a 5-minute cameo, as does Ja Rule.
Ja Rule as well. Oh, like the cast, in case nobody's ever seen Wrong Side of Town, it is like Rob Van Dam is the star of the movie. But on the cover, it is Batista with two guns. And then behind him, Ja Rule, who is also almost not in the movie. And then Rob Van Dam behind him. But the cast, for someone like my age, we're talking RVD, Batista, Viscera, King Mabel is in this movie. Omarion from B2K is in this movie. Stormy Daniels is in this movie.
Stormy Daniels, whole lot of people in Ja Rule, and Batista are in this movie. Alex was devastated that it was an RVD vehicle and not a Batista one, but he said you could see where Batista had like a jumping off point, like that it was there. Cause he's probably the best wrestler turned actor from like a skill standpoint, I think.
Sure. Yeah.
That's great.
You know, funny enough, somebody asked me recently who I thought was going to be the next wrestler that could break out in Hollywood. And I was like, I don't know if it'll be anybody in WWE or AEW. I look at Big Trouble Ben Bishop as a guy. He's the one that does all these skits. He's very charismatic, but also somebody's got to be doing these Kurgan and Nathan Jones roles. That like these two guys have been in like 300. They've been in movies with like Kevin James and like all these Mad Max and all this. Like these guys are getting in their 50s, sure. 50 and all that. There's going to have to be a younger guy that can do that. And I think he fits that bill like really, really well. Like, he's one that I look at and I'm like, that's a slam dunk. Like he's going to get roles like that. And you can see that he has range as well. But yeah, you know, I show up here to drop scoops. I end up talking about Wrong Side of Town. Go figure.
That's where we've been for a lot of this week. But
let me tell you, I rented that from Redbox when it came out. When it came out, I rented it from Redbox.
My gosh. What a watch short that on lived
a 23 inch flat screen TV in my room. I was like, hell yeah, brother. That was me.
It's like Michael Scott on The Office when he has that super small flat screen mount.
Yeah. It's up there. The whole movie's ridiculous. And the only thing. Since then, the only movie scene that I have seen that is as ridiculous as all that, there was this movie recently with Queen Latifah, and she like single-handedly beats the shit out of like 7 guys.
That's awesome. What movie is it?
Well, it was one of them was Keith Jardine, who's a former UFC fighter. Now, granted, they were white supremacists in the movie, so like. You almost feel guilty saying, this is unbelievable. But it was like a little ridiculous. But she whooped all their asses.
God bless. We'll be throwing that review up on FightfulSelect.com. Best $5 in the biz. That'll be worth subscribing alone for. Is here at Alex.
That was the long road movie. To telling you guys to spend $5 for FightfulSelect.com.
Like, scoops, sure. Alex ting off on that movie, amazing. But...
Hi, guys.
Sean,
see you, Alex.
By.
See you, Kate.
We appreciate him so much around these parts. I've definitely appreciated him always, but a lot, especially this week, especially when people are being weird. But we did get this question, which is funny, because if Fightful is the best $5 in the biz, who's the worst $5 in the biz? We're the most affordable service, and we're the best, so... There's not a worse $5 in the biz because most people charge more.
Listen, let me tell you, in a world where inflation has taken over
In a world where inflation has taken over, the only site that has not even raised by 1%, it is Fightful Select.
That was beautiful. Well done.
Thank you.
For Fightful Select.
If you guys ever need a voiceover artist, I'm here.
Well, we also
with cream cheese and jelly.
We also have someone that advertises for us named Matthew Hook. So we're going to push his voiceover services until you
Thank you, Matthew Cardoza. Let's pay Matthew. Listen, I don't take anyone's money. I do stuff for free. Everyone knows this. I'm just that guy.
I'll take your money though. Like if you just want to Venmo me thousands of dollars.
I've been Venmo. Who is it that I've been sending money to? Apple Pay, Venmo. There's a couple of Kates here that I've been sending money to. I don't know if I thought it was you. But
I did just get a text message from Cassidy Haynes who says he's the worst $5 in the business at Body Slam. So. Shout out to him.
He really said that? No way.
I'm not kidding. He just texted me right now. But he's great. But we appreciate him watching. I love Kaz.
Thanks, Kaz.
Love that, dude. But let's keep making our way through this episode of SmackDown. Get in those super chats and humper chats at humperchats.com. Like super chats, but we get to keep a little bit more of the money. And, of course, and most importantly, humpier. So, some
good. Ooh. Wait a second.
Some good stuff there, but let's get moving on this Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes video.
Yes.
I thought that this was very dramatic, but wrestling is dramatic and wrestling is cheesy. So I'll take it, but I actually this was pretty good. Let's dig into it a little bit. You have Roman Reigns, who is at Georgia Tech Stadium with Cody Rhodes, and he calls the stadium in the city of Atlanta where, you know, the place where he spilled his blood and sweat, and Cody Rhodes kind of lists off his family that wrestled and bled for Atlanta and was his home. It wasn't just like a place where he lived in the stadium that he worked out of, which I thought was good stuff. But Reigns says, enough about the history lesson, which I really liked because what I've wanted to see from Cody a little bit more in this reign is him getting out of Cody Rhodes' cadence, because we've seen a lot of Cody Rhodes' cadence and not enough stuff like this. Like, I thought this was more human sounding and better and more natural, which is just my preference. He's phenomenal at what he does. But for just things that I like better, I like things like this more. But Reigns says that Cody's in a lose-lose situation, and he has been for a bit. And this is the first time in a long time that Roman Reigns has nothing to lose, and nobody in the Bloodline proper really has anything to lose, which I thought was a good point there. And Rhodes kind of throws it in reverse because he says that he had nothing to lose because he isn't who he used to be. And he asks Roman Reigns for a couple of things. And the first is that he would have his back, and he wants Roman Reigns' word that that'll be true, and Reigns agrees. But he says that he wants a title shot when this is over. And I felt like it was good. I felt like they had to come to a middle ground that makes it make sense that they're going to fight off the new bloodline, as it were. But they don't like each other. They shouldn't like each other. Like, Roman had what Cody had for 3 years, right? And he lost it to that guy, and he shouldn't just be over that because there's some new blood in town, right? So I like that Roman Reigns is still trying to work his way back to Cody's title. I think that's an important piece of this. But I liked them kind of digging into things, and I loved when Roman went through, like, hey, this is everything that's got taken from both of us. They took Jimmy away, they took Jay away, they took everything away, they took Heyman away. Like, he really has nothing to lose. And I loved that they kind of called out that Roman, as over of a babyface as he is right now, shouldn't be like an underdog babyface. He should be a babyface that has something to fight for, though. And I think this struck the chord it needed to, of making Roman still feel like a badass, still have to navigate a relationship with Cody Rhodes, that he doesn't just automatically like him because they're both faces. But I thought this was an effective segment. The outro music stuff, really, really cheesy for me. The rest of it was wrestling drama, which I can take, but some of it I was like, all right, that's a little heavy-handed. But I thought this was effective, and even when it's something that I don't love as much, I always try and give credit when wrestling does stuff that is like new and different stylistically than what they've been doing. I think it's important. I think it's important that wrestling continues to take risks in this way. So I like that they did it because it's not like stuff that we normally get in wrestling. I feel like both AEW and WWE are both doing that really well right now. They've both really challenged themselves on a production standpoint, and I think that's necessary if you want wrestling to stay feeling fresh and modern and like it could be cool again. So this was decent. I liked the reasoning in it more than I liked the production, but I applaud them for doing something a little different than they normally do. What did you think of our Georgia segment that we got here?
I'm glad that you mentioned it with the way that you did, because you know we've seen just as well as the other company take their own shots with doing cinematic promos the way that they've been now both doing back and forth. Like, it's a bit of a gamble because, you know, the old man said it, and you guys know who the old man is. I don't need to mention him. When he took over WWFE, he said this is a TV show with, like, just fighting in it, right? So I understand that that's where it kind of still is at, right? It's a TV show with the drama built in. And then the drama just happens, you know, to rise and turn into a fight. I thought it was a bit too long. That's just my opinion. I made the grandest non-mistake of putting it up online, saying that it was just a tad bit long. We all know how that ended.
Dun, dun, and
but that's what I thought. It could have been tighter. The music was definitely, I like the beat. I was dancing, I was popping.
Okay.
I just needed a little bit, things to be just tightened up a little more. And this is just coming from someone who works in the production field. I know that if I were to present something like that, that was super long, in the world that we are today, I would be asked to kind of make it a little more concise and tighter, sure. Right? Especially since we only have 2 hours and only like 3 matches. So, you know, that ate up a chunk of the show. I enjoy the banter. I see what they're doing. I see where they're going with the acting and the drama and the doo-doo and using LUTs to make it look like a film. You know, if you don't know what a LUT is, it's just the look of it. You know, they make it look like a movie, cinematic. So, yeah, I love the interaction between them two. Like a math problem, you can chop off the outliers on the sides, which is everything else that was happening.
Sure.
And yeah, I mean, for a minute there, I'm like, I'm waiting for someone to say that we're going to start a stadium stampede. So
I do agree, though. We saw when Dynamite opened with that Moxley promo, not this past week, but the week before, AEW did something different than they've done with that, like, interwoven long shot that we got.
Yes.
I like that WWE did something like this, too. But I'll tell you what. If you're worried that your performance is not going to last long enough.
Blue Chew, main event performance, main event confidence, and a main event deal. Go to BlueChew.com and use the code FIGHTFUL, and you will get Blue Chew with their first shipment for free. Shipment? Yeah, I said shipment. No waiting in line at the pharmacy, no awkward doctor's visits. You take their online exam, and then if approved, it ships straight to your door. That's right. Same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in a chewable form and much more affordable. How can you pass up on this? How can you pass up on that confidence? How can you pass up on that performance? How can you pass up on making your sex life better? That's what Blue Chew is here to do. You don't have to have a problem to use Blue Chew. Just get that additional performance. BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL.
I enjoy that. I enjoy your segues. Just perfect. Sometimes I feel like they might be planned as an attack.
You queued that one up. How could it have been planned?
I 100% tonight will be ordering some Blue Chew code FIGHTFUL just because of how well your marketing tactics have worked on me, Kate.
Look, I have a gift, okay? It's a very
It makes your hair grow.
It's a very specific gift. All right, it's not like the most useful gift. I can't like put it on a job application or anything like that. But I do have a gift, and it's for Blue Chew Segway. Damn it!
You know, I should have talked to to iHeart about that. Let me tell you, her Bluetooth segues are great. Let me tell you about this one.
Let me tell you, give this girl six figures.
Oh my goodness.
Will with Chad saying, I love how Cody brought up how Roman was going to end up alone back in that promo before WrestleMania 39, and now it's happened. Yes, that's a very, very, very good call. We should be paying you to point things out like that. But yes, Cody kind of warned him that this was coming, and now it's here, right? So it is kind of cool that we know Roman's not going to be alone forever, right? He has too many other family members that are willing to come back. I think that Bron Breakker's probably going to beat Jey Uso, and you might see him scoot back over to the SmackDown side or start seeing that crossover as we begin to build to Survivor Series. But I liked Roman acknowledging that he has nothing to lose and how that has made him more dangerous. And I liked Cody saying, like, this isn't yours anymore. Like, you don't just get to decide how things run. I think Roman now has to adjust to the environment he's in because he's not running everything anymore. But me, Norma saying, Bing's Clavicle Collective.
I need to make that into a shirt.
How was wrestling tonight? Does SmackDown have as much meat as Raw? I don't think there's any meat as much as you have with Braun and Bronson right now. I think that has been the most fun of the meat divisions that you could possibly get. A lot of the AEW meat has been on the shelf for a little bit. So, but Bronson Reed and Braun Strowman has been, I think, the meatiest that you can get. But a fun SmackDown nonetheless. A fun SmackDown nonetheless. So some good stuff on tonight's episode. Keep that support coming. We thank you so much for it. Please leave a thumbs up on this video as well. Sean gave you your Fightful Select teases a little bit earlier in the night, but there's going to be plenty more coming up. These remaining months are insane. Like, there are pay-per-views that I completely forgot about because it's just such a loaded road down the rest of fall, but a really exciting time to be a wrestling fan. So let's dig into this. Now, as effective as I thought the Roman Reigns and Cody segment was, what the hell is going on with this Giovanni Vinci stuff, man? I don't know what they are doing. And I continue to not know what they are doing with one of the best in-ring workers in the world, in Giovanni Vinci. He is so damn good in the ring. And they are making him look like a chump and not making Apollo Crews look great in the process. I don't get how this benefits anyone. But we have another squash against Apollo Crews, who counters a powerbomb with a freaking schoolboy to win, to which I say, that doesn't make Apollo Crews look great either. There's a Jerichoism, despite my current thoughts on Chris Jericho. He said something of great value, which was, if you beat no one, you beat no one, right? If your opponent doesn't have any credibility and you beat them, it doesn't matter because you beat a chump. Which I think is more to say that when you're doing a promo, if you are a heel that only cuts your opponent's legs out from under them without raising them a little bit, you're doing yourself a disservice even in the process. But the same goes for the in-ring, because you would not know that Giovanni Vinci is top 20 worker in the world status, probably. I don't think that's an exaggeration if you've actually gotten to see him do what he can do. He has only looked like a henchman on the main roster when he was with Imperium. He was the weakest link, according to the story that they told. Other than that, he was injured. And now, he's been back. This is his big comeback. He's coming back with this great, like, European asshole heel persona. And you're making him look this weak? And you're having Apollo Crews win with a schoolboy? Who does this help? I don't get it. I don't get it. Like, this makes someone who is actually so talented look so bad. And then Apollo Crews winning with a roll-up, like, man, I don't think that does wonders for him either. Both of these guys can really go, and we don't get to see it. This is so, so stupid. I don't understand who this helps at all. Help me make sense of it, Cardoza. I don't get it.
Kate, it's very simple. This is not a show this is not me digging or anything. Please do not take this out of context. But, you know, Raw and SmackDown, NXT, and whatever comes in the future, it's not a show about wrestling first, right? It's about stories. And you know, you said, but it. This guy's a
story of this guy sucking help anybody.
Because it's that. That's the story that they're trying to build. WWE doesn't care that he's one of the best competitors and physical specimens on earth. What they do care is that they're going to be putting him out there, losing these 2 second matches, and then kind of really ramping up this nasty, conniving, I'm going to beat the living shit out of everyone. And starting with Apollo, they'll probably end up like, he'll probably be crushing Apollo soon. Trust me on that. If you look at the way that this is going, this is very traditional with the way that they build certain characters. It's just the fact that he's going to be pushing these matches, getting beat, getting pissed off, and he's going to just blow off. And then we're going to be like, wow, okay, so that's where they were going with him. Outside of that, there's nothing else that we can really be expecting.
When was the last time they successfully did this? Because it didn't work with Cesaro. It didn't work with Karrion Kross. It doesn't work. It's a shitty story.
It's a new regime. So I'm assuming that they're putting the trust in whomever is back there putting this together, to be completely honest. Because you're right. It doesn't really work. Because the fans are just going to be like, why do we want to get behind this guy? Except just to boo him, right? So if they're going to try to build him to be the next mega heel, if they're going to try to make him the next 007 of WWE, right? Like this finesse looking amazing character, right? And then he just goes out there and beats the crap out of people because he's just been made to look like a chump since his comeback, you know? I just feel like that's where they're going. I could be 1 billion percent wrong, but I just feel like this is where they're going to go with him. And eventually, you know,
was Ridge 2.0. How did that work? He's back in NXT, right? Man. Like, it's
right.
It's not a story that they tell well. I don't care what regime it is.
I know.
You don't do it when you have this genuinely high quality of an in-ring worker doing that story. This is not The Miz. No offense to The Miz. He's unbelievable at the role that he plays. He's not in-ring worker guy. I think The Miz would tell you, I'm not in-ring worker guy. I'm chicken shit heel guy. Right? I don't understand why you do this with someone whose in-ring ceiling is as high as Giovanni Vinci's. I don't like that story anyway. But when you're wasting the potential of I'm not exaggerating, but if you say you put him in your top 10 or top 10 workers, I couldn't argue with you. I don't know if he's in my top 10, but I can't argue with you on what I've seen from him. It's
I'm a very old man. Okay, I'm ancient. I've been watching professional wrestling for a very long time. And I can tell you this, that from watching the eras of WWE throughout my entire life, you know, for 18 plus years, we had no one else except for them. There's one thing that will remain true, is the fact that as much as we love a lot of these physical, amazing specimen of wrestlers that are out there doing incredible things, it'll always just, that is secondary to everything else, you know? And me and you will sit here and we are going to give, you know, him his flowers for just being such an amazing professional wrestler. But at the end of the day, that's just secondary. And I don't think we're going to see any of that, like, physicality and the amazing, you know, feat that he is in the ring until after they get this story situated with him. I don't know how true it is that people backstage are pissed or they don't like what's going on with him, right? I'm sure Sean will know more, and Fightful Select will tell you a lot more. $5 with $5 in the business. But, you know, outside of that, I mean, I say this a lot. I said it about Theory. I'll sit here and wait. And where have I been about Theory?
Yeah.
Right? Like, yeah. So, you know.
Maybe Giovanni Vinci needs a golden egg. Who knows?
I'm doing the same thing with Giovanni. I'm going to sit here and I'm going to wait. I'm going to see what they're putting in the pot and cooking.
I hope people at some point, Giovanni Vinci's WWE career, get to learn how damn talented he is. Because I've seen it. I saw it in NXT. I've seen it all over the place. So,
it's a different world in NXT too, so.
You know what, though, Alex? I don't want to see it on my TV. I don't want to see it on my computer. I don't want to see it on my phone, okay? I don't want to see it in any of those places. But if I did, I would have all of those places secured with NordVPN, okay? I would be so protected if that's what I did want to see them on.
I have long talked with you guys about the content that you can access with NordVPN.com/Fightful, but it doesn't just stop at pro wrestling. You can get MMA and boxing pay-per-views at a much more affordable price when you change your virtual location with just one click using NordVPN.com/Fightful. It doesn't stop there either. Football games. Man, if you want to check out those out-of-market football games, you don't have to spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars. You can get NordVPN.com/Fightful and just change your virtual location. How about baseball games? They make it harder than ever to actually watch baseball games. It is a task, not with NordVPN.com/Fightful. They got everything you need, in addition to all the threat protection and security that comes with NordVPN. But if you want that content, NordVPN.com/Fightful is right for you.
Can I just add that I love NordVPN? I say it every Friday. I have like a 15-year commitment to them now that I'm never going to give up. I know you're laughing, but it's true. I kind of went ham on there on this using the code word, you know, FIFO. But
save,
I do
you genuinely save a lot. What do you sign up for?
You
the
do.
Long-term
you business, really
you
do.
A lot of money.
Yeah. Yeah. And the best thing is, you know, we're always traveling. We're always going to different places. We need to protect our data. And I will say this. If you're a tech nerd like me,
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Internet routers allows me to add a VPN service to it, so I can protect my stuff here at home separately, or the entire house. And NordVPN is one of those one of the companies that allow me to use their service in my routers, and my entire house is protected. Like,
it's pretty great. That's a big help from NordVPN. They are legitimately one of the highest value savings that you get by using the code FIFTHFUL, and they're one of the biggest investors in us. So if you can show them support, whether you need a VPN or not, let them know you found out about them through us. But if you do need a VPN, seriously consider using the code FIFTHFUL, because it saves you a lot of money in the long run. And speaking of wonderful sponsors, I sold my first sponsorship for the FIFTHFUL Awards, which will be coming up at the end of the year. So if you want to sponsor the FIFTHFUL Awards, you can send me or Sean a message, but send it to me because I get the commission. And so now I'm hosting the show and I get to tell you to send it to me so that I get the money for getting you a FIFTHFUL Award slot. About $100 depending on what you are buying out, but you can sponsor a specific category or the show overall. So if you're interested in sponsoring the FIFTHFUL Awards, hit me up and I will get it set up for you. We had well over 10,000 views last time. It's hosted by Sean and Denise, so you know you're getting the maximum value of social reach. We also make sure that we're tweeting out from the accounts that we have. Sean has 304,000 followers on Twitter. A fight will probably be at about 200,000 by the end of the year, so you get a ton of impressions. We got to welcome WrestleStats back. They were a sponsor of ours last year and just bought one, so get in while the getting's good. You got plenty of time, but if you want to get an early bird start on such things, hit me up and we will get you set up.
So slide into those DMs.
Slide to the DMs. Slide to my email, kate@fightful.com. So there you go. Let's get back to some SmackDown talk. Guys, get in those super chats and humper chats. I know this was like a bit of a thinner episode, but we got plenty to talk about with it. We did get a humper chat about Cody and Roman that said, I loved the Cody Roman segment. I know people hate hearing the word cinema in wrestling, but it was cinematic for sure. But Who the hell was in all the trucks with Roman? Oh, yeah, DIY looked like geeks tonight. Sad. Yeah, they kind of did. They kind of did. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. But I think it's fair to say something is cinema when it looks that cinematic. It is one of those words that has kind of worn out its welcome. But apropos in this place, for sure. But we move on to our women's action. Now, I will say this episode was light on matches, but the matches we did get had some stakes behind them, and I thought that this was a good use of the women's division. Like, I felt like last week what got set up was a little bit confusing, but today it made more sense. That if Bayley and Naomi won, they would get to have a triple threat with Nia. If they lost, they would be sent to Raw. So this was good. And I wasn't clear last week on what had been set up. This was found its way. This found its way for sure, but this had Bayley and Naomi coming out victorious. What I liked about this was I felt like it could go either way. I feel like Naomi and Bayley have kind of maxed out their welcome a little bit on SmackDown from, I don't know what you can have them do unless you're going to refresh the tag picture a little bit or introduce some new stables, which seems to be something that is rising here. But Naomi, they haven't given the wins that she's needed. Bayley had the title and is out of the title picture now, and there's not really footing as to where she should go next. So I thought it was possible that they might get sent down to SmackDown, sent over to Raw, rather. But also could have seen this triple threat coming. So you have Tiffany fighting Bayley and Naomi off, but they overpower her. And we get a 1D and Tiffany rolling out of the ring. But Jax hits a Samoan drop on Bayley, and Naomi grabs the jackknife pin on Jax while Bayley has the crucifix pin, which combines for the three count. So I thought a clever ending. I thought a lot of good women's wrestling in this match. I love to see it. Best Nia's looked has been this run by far. We say it week over week. She's looked really great throughout this. Tiffany, a rising star against established veterans who are always so reliable. Makes for a really great match here, Alex. And for me, I liked that I didn't know who was going to win this. I liked that there was a sense of suspense in this.
I enjoyed it a lot. I'm a big of Nia's a big fan of Nia's comeback tour here, mm-hmm. of her me just kind of just seeing this on you Nia come out, and she's a badass, and she's not being played, and she's not talking about her hole being hurt and whatever else was happening before she left. So here's the thing. I know that they mentioned that loser goes what, leaves SmackDown as well, right?
Yeah, it goes to Raw if Naomi and Bayley were to lose. Correct.
Yeah, okay, cool. So that's interesting on its own. They're adding a lot of different little sprinkles to this title picture. They're doing it right. And then the fact that Tiffany's still hanging around, and she's kind of become now like this, she's slowly becoming this like side person, this little wheel on the side that's following along with Nia and everything else now that's happening around Nia, right? Like everyone else is like, hey, I'm going to go after Nia. But here's little Tiffany just standing back like, hey, cute little me just hanging out. You know what I'm saying? She is, keep your eyes on her, because she is the devil in disguise, to kind of use the words from MJF there. Be very careful with her, because she is going to come out on top. I guarantee it. And you can tell, man, this dynamic that they have with the women right now on SmackDown is really, really good.
The only thing I needed was Pretty Deadly being shenanigans on the side.
I know, yeah. They kind of just took them away rather quick, huh?
No, I'm sure they'll work.
They're nowhere to be found.
Back into the entourage at some point soon, but I needed them at ringside doing Pretty Deadly-y stuff. But we got some hate in the house. I've gotten plenty of it this week, but we'll get Pulaski on here.
Whenever we get into the 16x9 box, I know something good's about to happen.
That's right. That's right. But we've got Pulaski. We were just talking about our women's match, which I thought was well executed. But we don't bring in Alex to talk about the fun stuff. We bring him in for the sour flower.
Listen, I mean, like, I'm terribly sorry that all that horrible stuff happened to you and Sean. But all I can think over here me not receiving any threatening messages. What am I, chopped liver? Like, I thought I was the guy everybody hated. Come on, like, I don't get a single death threat, not one death threat. Not a single one, not even like a threat of violence. Not even like, I'm gonna egg your house. Nothing? Like, I'm feeling kind of left out. Like, honestly, it's just, you know me and my whole, like, I don't think I deserve any real praise and, like, true, but I also feel like I probably deserve at least a little bit of hate. I mean, I got none. I had no idea this was happening to everybody else. I'm over here blissfully just checking my messages, getting nothing. No, nothing crazy. Nothing like I'm going to stab your dog or nothing. I got nothing. I'm like, okay, well, I guess this is all right, I suppose.
Oh, well, I'm sorry, goodness, that you're not A, just a woman, because that'll do it. And B,
oh, wow. That might do it.
I'm sorry, yeah, you're not really good at wrestling scoops. I guess that's the other part of it, but
that could be it.
But I know that there's hate in your heart. I know there's hate in your heart.
There might be for the sour. You know what I love, Kate? I love when there are stakes.
I love steaks.
But like, not those kind of steaks. A different kind of steak. Where things mean something. If thing happens, then other thing happens.
Sure.
Right? So we had some problems with steaks in this particular episode. So they had all kinds of steaks in this women's match. And they found a way for none of them to matter. In this match, if you get pinned, you're out of SmackDown. But if you, whichever one does, pin the other one, then you get the title match, and the other one doesn't. So let's figure out a way for none of those things to happen. Plus, okay,
I was very confused, but I thought this meant if they won, they got a triple threat. Is that not what?
No. Okay. If Naomi pinned, that's why Naomi was pulling Bayley off of Nia. Because whoever was the one of the two women who got the pinfall got the title match. So because they both pinned her, just give them a triple threat. But no, we've got an extra step we've got to go through next week where they face each other. But because we've seen years of WWE programming, we know if there's ever an opportunity where a heel is the champion and two babyfaces fight each other for the right to face the heel for the title, that heel will always interfere, figuring, well, if neither of them win, then I don't have to defend my title at all. But that never works out that way, and they just put them in a triple threat. So Nia is going to have had no knowledge of past booking ever and just interfere, or Tiffany will do it on behalf of Nia.
It's going to be there.
Something like that. And we're going to get to the triple threat anyway. So I guess that's good.
That is good, kind of. Last week's segment was clunky, so I couldn't figure out fully what had gotten set up because she was like, it'll be a triple threat. And then they set up a tag team match, and I got very confused about what was going on. So, gotcha.
Yeah.
Well, in addition to reviewing SmackDown and Fightful Select, you also do that while watching Rampage. And we did get a chat about Harley Cameron from Tom LaValle, who said, talk about surprisingly great women. Harley Cameron really held her own against Sheeta. Never would have thought. But yeah, she's had under 40 matches, and she's really, really, really good at this already. Like, it's awesome to see her grasp some of what I think seem like the most difficult things about wrestling, but I got to see that match live, so I know how good it was. What did you think?
She's very good. She's gotten a lot better at all this stuff. But also, the alliance appearing to form between Hayter and Sheeta is interesting. Deonna Purrazzo did a little vignette where she is starting her own faction with Taya Valkyrie as the first member. It's faction, it's gang wars, but now it's lady gang wars.
I hope that leads to Lady Blood of Guts, because
that would be good. Lady Blood and Lady Guts.
There's a very specific time of the month joke I could make, but I'm going to skip over
we're going to talk
about other things from Rampage and other things from SmackDown. The floor is yours.
What was the deal with okay, so A, it's cool. Andrade lost. clean, but they're still continuing the feud with Melo. Melo could have cost him the match, which is why they would continue the feud. That's not the big deal. The big deal is the weird handshake. LA Knight does the fist bump, and Andrade is like, no, I will not fist bump, handshake. And LA Knight's like, I'm not going for a handshake, I'm going for a fist bump. And Andrade's like, but I will not fist bump, I will only handshake. And LA Knight's like, tough taco, pal, we're doing a fist bump. And I don't know what, that was the first major pissing contest of the evening. The other one happened at midfield of a football field. So, I mean, I don't really know why we had to, just choose one. I don't know why we're doing the, like, no, fist bump, no, handshake. That was weird.
It's how you get around the code of honor without breaking it. You know what I mean?
Could be. That could be it. That could be it. Hey, remember how I said stakes were important?
Yes.
What happens if Cody and Roman beat Solo and Jacob Fatu?
Well,
like, it's bragging rights, right? Like, it's not like they have to give him the Ula Fala back.
Right. I feel like it feels like once that business is done, that Roman gets his title shot back at Cody, was what I took from today's segment.
But then why, like, I don't understand. They obviously don't like each other and don't trust each other. Why are you forcing yourselves to team with the other guy if you don't like them and don't trust them? If when you beat the other team, you get nothing out of it, and the other team that you beat loses nothing. Like if Cody's team wins with Roman, then Solo can never challenge for his title again. And if Roman wins with Cody, then he's got to get the Ula Fala back. Something. This means a lot to them, but, like, not in a real way. All I got out of this is that both guys think they are more Atlanta than the other guy. And I really don't care about how Atlanta you are.
Well, I think the point of today's segment was probably to find a middle ground of how they're going to work together as an alliance. And then the stakes will be built coming up.
Maybe.
I would hope. I think we're supposed to believe they just need to thwart the bloodline for a little bit longer because these guys are so dangerous, is what they're trying to tell us. But today, I think, was just about the we're not so different to you and I of it all.
Yeah, no, there was a lot of that. Also, just everything. Well, you haven't talked about it yet, I'm assuming, but everything surrounding the finish of the main event made the least amount of sense possible. I've never seen the ref call of the match a six-man tag because one member of one team pulled a member of the other team off of a pinfall. I've never seen that before.
Yeah.
That's never been a thing that use your Jonathan discretion. Like, honestly, I don't know what that ref's doing it. And then Michael Cole's in there going like, "Well, he had no choice." He definitely did have a choice.
He definitely did have a choice.
That's all.
We are going to get to all of that bloodline stuff coming up. We're going to talk about that whole through line in a little bit. But anything else from Rampage that you wanted to talk about while you're here?
The main event four-way was fun, but, like,
I did not like it live, to be honest.
It was whatever.
The little rush parts were super fun. I felt like that match, way too much of it was agented to be a one-on-one match between two guys, and then occasionally it was just like, and then Rocky Romero came in. It was
fun. It just also, like, it wasn't like, oh, this is for a title shot. It's really weird to do a fatal four-way where nothing is on the line. That usually never. They usually don't do that. But
no, that's weird. That was a weird.
But yeah. I love how Beast Mordos is. Everybody wants Beast Mordos to be their friend. Like, I want this guy on my team. Gwar. Like, that is good. I like that. Oh yeah, you to beat the hell out of Butcher. That was really fun, I suppose.
That was really fun to see live too. So I love him using the cattle mutilation. That's a fun piece of storytelling. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So some good stuff on there. But if you want to get
some terrible stuff. Chris Jericho ruined everything. I forgot about that. Chris Jericho ruined everything. Just let Big Bill and Kyle O'Reilly fight a best of seven.
Oh my God, I want that
just do that. Just take everything else out of the way. Let Mark Briscoe go back to ROH and defend his title over there. Chris Jericho could take a vacation forever. Brian Keith can do literally anything else. And then Big Bill and Kyle O'Reilly can fight a best of 77, and I'll watch all the matches.
You did also get one of these.
We did get one of those. They stole Max Caster's stupid jacket.
We're touching all the tips.
There you go.
Over here. Love that for right. us. But if you want to get more sour, if you want to see a SmackDown review alternative to this while watching Rampage along, check out Alex on FightfulSelect.com. Best $5 in the biz. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm sorry that you didn't get any hate. Try being a woman next time.
I guess I'm going to have to be, I suppose. All right. Well, I'm going to go check my inbox. Maybe something went to my spam folder.
It's true. It's possible.
Okay. All right. Well, have fun, everybody. Bye.
I'll be reviewing a movie with Ja Rule, Stormy Daniels, and Batista with that man and not that long from now. So let's talk about the rest of this. Guys, get in those super chats and humper chats. We are coming down the home stretch. But before we dive back into it, I gotta say, I thought that Alex would not like that segment. In fact, I would have placed money on such a thing, Alex. It would be very weird if they took prop bets on whether or not Alex liked someone. It would be a really bad and obvious betting line, because Alex's way of viewing things makes it very clear what side he's going to follow on and stuff. But I'll tell you what, if you want to bet on wrestling, if you want to bet on football, if you want to bet on anything with the earliest betting lines in the whole wide world, you should head over to Bet Online.
I want to talk to you guys about our great partner at BetOnline AG. Yes, the place that lets you bet on pro wrestling. We've gotten our pro wrestling betting odds from them for years, well before we even worked with them. And we're going to tell you a little bit more about them. They got the earliest lines, the fastest payout, the industry best bonuses. They've been trusted for 25 plus years because of their safe and secure environment and their quick payouts. But you can bet on pro wrestling. How cool is that? If you think you know more than anybody, go ahead and look at those odds. The same ones you've seen on Fightful for years. You might see one that sticks out to you and you go, wait a second, there's no way that person's going to win. Why are they an underdog? Make yourself some money. BetOnline AG. And hey, it doesn't stop there. Whatever sports you want, they got you covered. Popular games like blackjack and roulette, Supernova, Skyward, all that stuff. BetOnline AG. Please bet responsibly and only bet what you can at BetOnline AG.
Alex, I don't know.
Perfect for football season, by the way.
It is. Guys, get in your super chats and your humper chats. We got this main event to talk about. But, Alex, I don't know how many times we've said on the show that we are just blown away by the way that Chelsea Green maximizes her TV time. Like, oh, yeah. I really am impressed by it every week. And Chelsea Green wearing a pink construction hat to train for their dumpster match as she's taking out the trash is unbelievable. She is so freaking funny. She really just, I think, views things in a very valuable way of what can I do when I'm given X amount of time to leave a lasting impression and to help advance my story. That's it. It's very simple. It's very effective. She's unbelievable. Even in little things like this, like just absolutely, absolutely fantastic. Any thoughts on that? I can't gush enough about what Chelsea Green does on a weekly basis.
I said it. I was on Danny's stream on YouTube, and I was talking back and forth with some people in her chat, and I was just like, dude, like, she is always on top of her game. She's always trying something new. She's not scared to put herself out there. She's so smart. She's definitely one of them that I think would and is going to be great once a women's mid-card title gets put into the picture.
Definitely.
I think she is definitely one that will 100% take advantage of that role. She was so, I mean, everything, the acting, the way she was throwing things around and the way that she was putting down Michi and the way she was like just nasty but you know who she really isn't. Like, you know, but just, her character is just like mean. It was good. I do hope that wherever this goes, it's meaningful for these women. And, you know, like, we didn't have to let people know that, you know, Vicky was the one who suggested this trash match. I could have just said it was what a great match is going to be. And it's cool that they're bringing back a lot of the old stuff like this, like dumpster matches and whatever. Those are things in that were from back in my day when I was a young little lad watching the WWE. So, yeah.
I also appreciate that they've picked up some of the talent rotation a little bit. Like, I think if SmackDown moves to 3 hours, which is an if, according to Fightful's reporting.
What?
As a heads up. It is not confirmed by us. If they go to 3 hours, they're going to need to beef up their rosters a little bit. But the talent rotation on the women's side is something that has gotten a lot better, I feel like. Under this regime where you're seeing more women in meaningful stories than you were. Will calling out something that I agree with here, saying I do like how Nia is not stupid and how she keeps siding with Tiffany because she knows the feeling of being cashed in on before. Yes, Nia being aware that Tiffany kind of feels like a ticking time bomb and keeping her in check as much as she possibly can, I think it's something that's really, really good. Is something really, really good. Brian Sully saying, I miss Candice LeRae on my screen. Man, I don't get it. She's one of the best women's wrestlers in the world. Indy Hartwell was a promising NXT talent. The NXT handoffs are horrendous. It's something that they really, really need to work on. Really, really need to work on. I miss those two, too. They deserve a much fairer shake than they've gotten, but let's get into the Bloodline stuff here. Get in those Super Chats and Humper Chats. We kind of talked about what was going on with Kevin Owens earlier before he comes to the ring. He says he's going to let his...
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, you black men out there tried to hide your criminal records and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Marino has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Marino take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at ohiovoterguide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, askmepeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
In-ring work, do the talking, but he makes his entrance in DIY. We're about to be taken out by the Bloodline, and the Street Profits make the save to help KO. And they decide to stick around, and it turns into a six-man tag for reasons. So that happens. Don't like DIY being recent title holders and being made to look this week. I really, really don't. But they're also one of my favorite tag teams in the world, so I'm always going to be rooting for them all the time. But our match ends up going to a no contest, unfortunately. I thought it was fun in-ring-wise. I don't think this needed to go to a no contest. But the Bloodline keep attacking Kevin Owens, Dawkins, and Ford. DIY try to help, but they get taken out. Cody Rhodes, of course, makes the save for the good guys. And KO looks like he was going to turn on Cody with the chair, but decides not to for now. I think we're slow burning this heel turn from KO. I could see Randy Orton coming back into play on it. That triumvirate of guys just feels like they're not going to disband without some shit going down. So I think that would make plenty of sense. But Kevin Owens is an interesting one. You know, they might be slow burning the heel turns because maybe he is going to enter free agency and you don't want to make sweeping creative efforts if somebody could be leaving your company. I think we've seen that with Daniel Garcia on the other side of things, right? So
yep.
I do think that there's so much value in what Kevin Owens does. He has fought the Bloodline a lot. Like, both iterations of them. It's been, like, them and Austin Theory and Grayson Waller. And I think it would be refreshing if he could move up and on. Him facing Cody, I think, is something that could be great. But my cousin Michael saying that he can't believe he had to root against Kevin Owens because of Montez. It definitely nothing to do with him having a crush on Bianca Belair. He does not like Montez Ford based on his in-ring work. Definitely not because he covets his wife in any way, shape, or form. But I got to see my cousin Michael at Wednesday's Dynamite. So nice to see him in here. Not trolling me about Bird Notice for a change, but something that WWE is good at is interweaving their stories more often than not. Sometimes they get so interwoven that things become very convoluted. And I understand with 2 hours, you're trying to get a lot of people on TV, and it's a challenge to keep people feeling over and it as important as possible. Stuff like this is a bridge too far for me. Like DIY getting this involved, having no real explanation why the Street Profits are on the good guy side of this. They just kind of showed up and were friends with Cody one day. Like, I don't think we ever got clear motivations or intentions on that. So if you are going to build out something this complex, I think that there's ways to have creative lines that are cleaner to get you there. But that's the way they closed the show. I like Kevin Owens feeling important. I think the handwriting is on the wall for where we're going with Survivor Series, certainly. But what did you think of our main event here?
There was a fine match. A couple of fellers in there jumping around the ring. I said this again. I was talking, and it's fun to hear the crowd gasp, and you know when they're doing all these topes and all that stuff. You know, because listen, I'm an avid AEW watcher, and that's something that they, you know, they're free to do. The wrestling is a little bit different over there, but it's cool to kind of see that kind of wrestling on SmackDown and see all these, you know, the Bloodline just jumping through around, and you got Montez doing, you know, jumping 36 feet in the air and doing a somersault, and Fatu just killing everyone. It's fun. It's fun to see that style of wrestling on WWE television, and I'm glad that they're doing it. I am feeling a little bit exhausted with the Bloodlines and with a S at the end.
The dueling Bloodlines.
Yeah, I feel like we've been stuck in a really long looping episode of Groundhog Day since 2021. And I don't know like how they break from this, because even when Bloodline 1.0 was dwindling down, we were like, oh my God, what's going to happen? What is the world going to think of now? Bloodline 2.0. Yeah. You know, so I am growing a little tired. I know a lot of people are in love with this stuff, and but you know, I want to see something else, because Cody, since he came back to WWE, this is the only story he's been a part of. This is the only thing he's done.
It has been very heavy on that for Cody.
Oh my goodness, yeah. So I just want to see where it goes.
Never really clicked in because the booking was so weird around it. Like, I agree with you, and I think there's layers of intrigue here that are fresh, but at the end of the day, it's kind of tricky, and I don't know how you solve this creative challenge, and it's not my problem. So that's
no, all and then you're gonna have Roman, you know, put his team together, and you know you're gonna have the 1.0 versus the 2.0, you know, and whatever else happens, and like, whoever else gets infused into these matches. But okay,
I think
cool.
The issue with it is, there's two things you can do right now, which is one, book it logically, which is super predictable. Or if you want to make it interesting, you have to book it illogically, which is bad. Like, so that's the creative challenge that they have to solve of like, we can do the wrestling math about who's going to win a million miles away. We can see the numbers game come into effect every single time. We know Cody is going to have friends to call on, and that they might not even justify why. So it's like, if you're gonna do it logically, that's really predictable. They need to figure out a way to keep the story spicier, because to do the fundamental things that you need to do to advance the story, it is kind of exhausted is a good word, because it's exhausted from the perspective of we saw this for 3 years already, and it was getting old at the end of Roman's reign. Now it's a very similar formula with new people. So
listen, and I'm gonna leave it at this as well. history, there's this old saying that history repeats itself, which is 100% very true. Fads come back, things always work themselves around. We're in a 90s fab now, right? Everything is 90s. You know, you can go into any shopping center now or clothing store, and my old clothes from 1995 is hanging on a rack for triple the price now. So this is very NWO-esque from back in the day, where the group just kept on getting big, and they had the 1.0s, the 2.0s, the 3.0s. They left for a while, then they came back, right? So, like, this is starting to feel a little bit like that. I've been around the block a couple times now in the wrestling biz, and I'm starting to feel that way again. Sure. with this certain group. I understand it's a totally different level now, but, you know, I hope they start, like you said, mixing it up or something, just because I am just a little bit exhausted with it. And sure. It's, you know, we come here, and that's pretty much our show is about. We're always just like, this happens with the Bloodline in the beginning. There's two matches in the middle. A cinematic scene, and then we at the end, we're once again interweaving the Bloodline into our show again.
I think, you know, it was funny. I was talking to SB3 on the ROH post show yesterday, and when we get really small episodes of ROH, he brings a list with him, which is fun. We do like the top five whatever, and because of what happened on the internet this week, he brought his top five Bryan Danielson versus Nigel McGuinness matches from ROH. And what was so interesting about going through them is the builds to so many of them are like blueprints, textbooks of plots forgotten that every wrestling company should be bringing back. There was a whole build that was Nigel McGuinness saying, if you want to get to meet Bryan Danielson, you have to beat everybody that I beat on the road here. Like, such a simple story that doesn't really get told anymore. So I would like to see them freshen up the playbook. I would like to see both companies freshen up the playbooks, quite frankly.
Yes,
like,
please, both.
We see a lot of repeat stuff, so
yes.
This is a tricky one. I think the way through it is dissension between Jacob Fatu and Solo. I think you start building those suits now, because Jacob Fatu is like the hottest thing you've got coming into this, so I think there's plenty of juice left. They just gotta maximize it the best way possible, but that was our episode for tonight. Thank you guys so much for the support today. Thank you so much for subscribing to FightfulSelect.com. We encourage you to do so if you haven't already. Please leave a tip touch in the comments here and a thumbs up on your way out. But Alex, where can people find you?
Hey, you can find me everywhere and anywhere by just going into the IG. That's not everywhere and anywhere, but IG is all that I have right now that I really use that hard. And Threads, Alexis Cardoza. You can also find me on the Twitter at _ Alexis Cardoza. And hey, really quickly, just want to say thank you to all of you for always coming on here and supporting, for supporting online, for just being use, you know, plain and simple.
I appreciate the kindness and support from the people in our wonderful community.
Yes.
Check them out in that Fightful Select Discord if you're not a part of it. You can find me mostly on Threads now. I'm pretty burnt out.
I love that for Twitter. You. Let's go.
Ridiculous that we have to be filing police reports over people being idiots on that app, but that's the way it goes. So that's I'll be on Threads more. I'm Miss Kate Fabe on all social media. You can find me here on Fightful every Monday on Fightful Select with Alex Pulowski, Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays on the main channel. Do your NXT, ROH, and SmackDown post shows, and Wednesdays at the Mark Order Podcast, talking all things All Elite. But not this Wednesday. So I'm going to be at Grand Slam, as will Sean.
Grand Slam.
As well. I think Crest is going to be there and a couple of other people. So please say hi if you see us at Grand Slam. I'm very excited to go to that. We've got some fun stuff lined up there. But you'll have this Alex and Alex Pulowski covering your AEW post show. So
double A's, baby.
Out. You guys, thank you so much. Have a safe and wonderful wrestling weekend. We're out of here.
Bye-bye.
Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination.
One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio.
From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights. We can't let Marino take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AFSCME People, AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Marino has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Marino take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AFSCME People, AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.